Welcome back to TV Campfire Podcast. This is podcast number 55, and I am Libya, your host, and this week we have returning guests.
Hi, this is Greg from St. Louis, Missouri.
And it's Ronnie from Las Vegas.
And Josh from Los Angeles.
Finally, a crew of people who are not all from Los Angeles. Thank you very much. It's getting a little redundant. All right, so let's get on with the news. And this week we have very good news, which is that Fringe has been renewed for season 4. Woohoo!
Yay!
This is exactly what I was talking about before when basically I think Fringe just needs that one more season to wrap everything up. And I think that now that they've gotten it, I'm very happy. I think this show will be wrapped up in a nice bow and I will be nicely satisfied. Thank you very much. The other piece of news is that Futurama, which is one of those shows, has been renewed, canceled. And I know the fans have whiplash. It has been picked up for 2 more seasons.
Woo-hoo!
So that is
love Futurama.
Well, I figured there were people in the audience who do. I'd never got into it. Like, I watch a random episode, but I'm not a steady Futurama watcher. But
I'm an insane fan. Whenever they do a marathon on Comedy Central, I end up watching it, even though I've seen every episode they show.
Well, I mean, and I get that. I gotta sit down and watch it. I mean, I understand what it's about, but I just haven't gotten into it. The other piece of news I have is that FX canceled the show Lights Out, which when I saw the preview for that show, I didn't think it was gonna last very long because the premise just seems very short-lived. Like, how can you watch a boxer week to week to week to week who's trying to quit boxing? That seems like a very finite storyline. But anyway, what do I know? And the last thing is asking you guys out there, are you guys going to watch Body of Proof, which starts next week? What do you guys think?
I don't know. It looks just kind of like every other procedural show I've seen out there with the protagonist who is sassy.
Yeah, I was thinking that. Like, I can't decide. I feel like I'm honor bound to at least watch the pilot, but I'm not really that excited about it. So
I might check out the pilot, but I don't know if I go much beyond that.
And I'm not into procedural, so I won't be watching it.
Yeah, I could see that too.
Yeah, and the previews didn't really pique my interest either.
I think I saw one preview where it tells about, you know, she got the brain thing and now she has to do this thing and blah, blah, blah. And some of her personal stuff sounds like, all right, maybe.
You know what? It's just another protagonist who has some sort of problem and therefore has more of an attitude.
Right. But I do like Dana Delaney. So, yeah. All right. I might check it out. Anyway, it's not actually set on my TiVo, so no promises. Alright, first show we're going to talk about really quickly on the timer is Chuck. Go.
Stuff blows up. The end.
Yeah,
well,
you know,
people get stabbed too.
I mean, you know, Marcia has been on the podcast before, and Marcia is, she's done. Some of us are still hanging on until the end of the season. And I had to say, I found myself that I had to come back and re-hit my TiVo button 3 times to finish watching the episode. So there's got to be something wrong when, you know, it's not catching my interest enough to actually watch the entire episode all the way through, a 45-minute episode. But it's still hanging on and still watching it. This episode was that after they had another organization that was supposed to find another intersect, and that mission failed, now Chuck is supposed to find basically another Chuck. And so he goes through and interviews some people, and there's kind of a murder mystery involved when the recruits end up getting killed. And then they've got this kind of funny side plot going on in the Bymore with rivalry between the Bymore and...
Now, when you say funny, you mean they intended it to be funny or that it was actually funny?
they intended it to be funny. Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. It was more intended to be funny, but after maybe the 10th BM joke, I was like, we need to stop this.
Yes, please. It was, I thought it was awful. I wanted to shoot someone.
It's a pig mascot that got kidnapped. It was, sophomoric.
It was very bad. I thought that the murder mystery at the end, it actually was the guy that looked like a terrorist, really? So,
yeah. Like, I thought it would have been way more interesting if the guy who looked like a terrorist is the guy who ended up finding the person who actually did it instead of Chuck.
Right, and instead it was actually the guy that they suspected at the beginning. Like, no. You get F in murder mystery, Chuck. So, all right.
I find the most interesting part was actually the last couple of minutes of the show, and that is the other plot that they're introducing with Ellie with her dad's computer. And so I'm kind of interested to find out what's going to go on with that. Chuck was trying to kind of get Ellie and protect Ellie from the whole spy world with Awesome's help. But now there's kind of this thing going on with Ellie and Awesome actually being in on a little secret against Chuck, that Ellie is still going to have access to the information her dad left for her on her computer.
And then the computer randomly scans her, discovers that it's her, and opens up this whole new file. And I'm like, you're doing that now? How long has she been working on this thing?
Yeah, it's kind of late, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, if she becomes an intersect, I'm going to be slightly annoyed. But yeah, all right.
We'll see what happens with it.
Let's move on to the event. And the event this week was good, bad. It was better than, I guess, some of the other ones. This show is still not good, which is really...
It's still intriguing enough for me to want to keep coming back to it, but I don't know. Was I the only one who thought, like, did they just tell us what the actual event was without any fanfare?
Basically the destruction of their home planet, or is that what you're thinking of?
Yeah, their sun going supernova. I'm like, that's an event, that's a major event.
Yeah, but I got the impression that event was going to happen to Earth soon. But I guess also...
No, it sounded like they were saying we need to get everybody from our planet to Earth now.
Right, yeah, right.
Just 1,000 colonists.
Right. I agree, that's the plan, because everybody else on their planet's going to die now if they don't move. But the whole Thomas and Sophia thing, I just don't care. I'm just like, can we just kill Thomas? He's the most annoying character ever.
He really is.
It's not even that he's a villain. He's a whiny villain. And I just can't stand whiny villains. So I think he needs to go.
I agree.
So I mean... And now the president's all gung-ho and just wants to kill everyone. That's kind of uninteresting, though.
It's interesting, but I'm like, at the same time, I'm like, where is this coming from?
Well, they're showing he's having these dreams about everybody thinks that he's weak, so his response to people thinking he's weak is just to kill everybody. And I'm like, I don't know.
That's very presidential.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know if that's a good idea. So I'm not sure. Like, every time I think the show is getting better, it kind of staggers a little bit. And the storyline with the Ritter kid, his attempt to threaten the vice president was just very pathetic. You need to practice how to threaten people, because I wasn't really that scared.
And I still don't know what is up with Hal Holbrook, his character, and what he's doing.
Well, they haven't revealed a lot about that. I mean, but...
This show is most likely not going to get renewed for another season. Can we at least get some info?
You have these all these children who are half-breeds, and what's going to, and they're in, so somehow how, somehow he figured out that by using these children, he can get, but he's not younger himself either, but he can stay alive longer.
Right.
He might be 200 years old. We don't know.
Well, he's sapping their extra youth or whatever and pumping it into himself to make him live longer. I get that. It just seems simple. Like, that's it? Yeah. That's your master plan?
Yeah, so, there has to be more to it than this, or at least I hope there is.
Right.
So, and they're just taking a real long time to, like, reveal sort of what's going on, you know what I mean? That there are these children, and they need to pump that up a little bit more.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, all right, let's move on. it's getting better, sort of, but then not. So,
for those of you that watch it, is this going to be another flash forward?
Yes.
It is.
Yes.
But like I think Josh said, I'm interested enough. I'll see it through because they're it's a little bit tighter than it was last season, but yeah. It's still not there.
We're on the 14th episode. We're over halfway through the season. Like, might as well just stick it through.
Right.
Right.
I'm just irritated that it's still on and V is gone, and I'm just like, really, V is so much better. All right.
I know.
Let's move on to Castle.
Actually, because it was like the soap episode, and I'm not a big soap.
Oh, right,
fan.
Yeah.
So I didn't pick up a lot of the references, and so to me, the main sort of murder, I wasn't as much interested in. It was funnier with his mother, Martha, and her trying to get back in, and her new boyfriend, you know.
Yeah. Oh, right.
What I enjoyed was Corbin Burnson and Jane Seymour just chewing up scenery with every scene they were in.
Yeah, that was actually really great. Because when they were doing the dialogue, I was like, are they, when it first starts out, I was like, are they supposed to be talking like that? Like, I thought it was a little weird, but I didn't realize that they were hamming it up to be in a soap. And then once they go cut, I was like, oh, that makes a lot more sense. Because I was like, why is everybody weird?
See, that's what I love, the scene at the end where the two of them are still doing the same hamminess together, and Castle's like, oh, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you running lines. They're like, oh, no, we're not running lines. he just shudders as he walks out the door.
that was all pretty good in figuring out which one of the crew had the motive to put the axe in the woman and doing the whole fan thing. That was very meta. That was very much like... oh, the shippers, and then explaining what a shipper is, and I'm like, yes, I know what a shipper is. Make it stop.
And this is where I felt like it sort of became a little disingenuous, because I'm like, how does Castle not know what shippers are?
Well, Castle himself, that's true, because he's a writer, so he should know.
Yeah, he's a writer with a big fan base. I find it hard to believe that the term shipper never came up on his radar.
That's true. But the thing is, maybe it did. He was just teasing her because he's so surprised that Beckett knows.
Yeah, I've heard people think that. I'm like, nah, no. He seemed genuinely like he didn't know what was going on here.
It was not one of the best Castle episodes. They did have their, of course, requisite snarky back and forth comment. And the killer was, of course, the person we meet in the first 5 minutes, as expected. So I say this is a run-of-the-mill Castle. There was nothing extraordinary about the episode.
Yeah, but considering how many great episodes they've had this season, I'm willing to let them slide on a mediocre one.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. I'll take that.
Yeah, it was homage back to, his beginnings, because he started off in soaps. So I'm sure for the people who do...
Oh, that's right,
That they enjoyed it more, where, sort of, I think coming from us, anything that has, to do with something, some reference to Serenity or something, we like that better,
Thank you.
That's a very good point, yes.
So we'll give it to all the soap people out there.
That mean next we're going to get a sitcom as an homage to Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place?
That's so funny. I actually watched that show and didn't realize he was in it.
Me neither.
I mean, when it was originally on, I watched it, but I didn't really notice him. That's so bizarre. But anyway, next show we want to talk about is Stargate Universe. But we're going to talk, we didn't talk about it last week, and I had it listed, and we totally didn't talk about it, and I apologize. But last week's episode was actually one of the best episodes of Stargate Universe they've had in quite a while. So I want to take a moment to talk about that, which was the time... loop? It wasn't exactly a time loop. It was...
It was like a time jump or something like that.
So there were two of everyone, and almost the entire... pretty much the entire crew all got killed in the first loop, and the only people who survived were Rush and Lou Diamond Phillips. I never remember his name.
Telford.
Okay, yes. And
Telford went back to Earth.
Yeah, he made it back to Earth. And so then we run into, but we've been following the second loop without realizing it. And so then we meet the future Rush. And he gives you this whole song and dance story about everything that happened the first time around. And I have to say, I like the fact that they leave it to the audience to believe him or not. Because I totally think he was lying.
Oh, yeah, he definitely was lying.
But they never, no one ever suspects him of lying. I was like, have you not met Rush before? Like, why do you guys all believe him?
Like, how does Young, of all people, not suspect that Rush may be lying?
Exactly. So,
because he got exactly what he wanted and that everyone is still on the ship.
Exactly. It was, that in itself should let you know he was lying. Because he was like, oh, we all should stay together on the ship because if we don't, then we're not going to get blah, blah, blah. And to the point that Young actually guards the bridge to keep him from sabotaging the ship. Yet, when a future version of him shows up, and he's giving you this song and dance.
You just trust him like sight unseen.
Right. I'm like, seriously? Come on. Yeah. So, but I thought his lie was fantastic.
The one thing that I really liked about this episode was, like, how there was a duplicate destiny and everybody on our destiny realized, hey, we have a whole nother destiny. We can go over there and salvage it for parts we need.
Yeah, and they realized that very quickly. Like, right about when I thought it, I was like, hey, you should... And then they go, let's get parts. So I was like, yes, you guys are thinking.
It's like the most obvious thing you should do, which most people, like, don't even think about in these sort of time loop duplicate type episodes.
Right.
And they totally did it. I was like, thank you.
Yes, they were right on it, and they were rushing, and they were running, and they were going, they were like, supplies, let's go, let's go, let's go, and they were hustling, and I was like, all right. So all the things I thought that they did about, but I think that was around when I really realized that he was lying. Like, right when the crew is all working together to salvage stuff so that they can survive on the deck, I was like, oh. Well, yeah. I mean, I suspected he was lying before, but like at that moment, when I realized he was getting exactly what he wanted, because their whole point was that we have to get off the Destiny because we don't have enough supplies, we don't have enough parts, we don't have enough whatever. And now all of a sudden, they have exactly what they wanted and what they needed. Right. And I was like, oh, he totally manipulated this some kind of way. I don't know how he did it, but he did it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know whether it's from watching too many Star Trek episodes or Back to the Future or what, but I was completely confused by the end because, you know, I was thinking, okay, so if he stopped the ship, if he stopped everyone from going through, then the first time loop didn't happen, and then how did Telfer get on Earth? And it took a half an hour conversation with Libya later in the week.
Oh, yes, because my vast knowledge of time travel is well known.
Oh, man, you are a time lord, Libya.
All I did was explain the logic of the show. That doesn't mean it actually works. But the logic of that particular, I was like, okay, I followed how they were saying their logic, and then that's it. All right, let's this week's episode of Stargate Universe is Telford going, what do you mean I'm dead? Oh, that was the other thing, is at the end of the last episode, first Rush killed second
Telford. First Rush killed second Telford, yes. Right.
Well,
not confusing at all.
Well, and that was the thing, is I actually thought it was pretty cool. I was like, wait a minute. We got an extra Rush and we got an extra Telford. I was like, they're going to fix that somehow. And then, like, right when I was thinking it, they just totally did it. I was like, okay. So this week's episode, Telford was like, what do you mean I'm dead?
And he was so like, now Telford is back on Earth and no longer on Destiny.
Right, which is where he was before, which is kind of, I don't like that. I actually liked it when Telford was on board because it added a new dimension to the whole conflict and everything. Because now Young has a friend who could shoulder some of the weight, and you've got all this, you've got additional animosity, and Rush can't manipulate Young as well. And so it's like, I liked it. And they immediately reset it and put Telford back on Earth. I was like, oh, you guys suck.
Well, I got a few episodes left.
I know. Thank you for bringing that up. But
I'm sorry. Let's not talk about that.
We're all sad about that, yes.
Definitely. Yeah, because I like Telford better on the
interaction of the two main characters in this episode, though.
You need to repeat your sentence.
Oh, I just said it was a really good episode. I really liked the interaction, and I'm sorry I can't remember the character names.
Ray and Greer.
Greer,
yeah, thank you. And their interaction and in the episode, especially.
Yeah their interaction. This is probably the first episode where they put the two of them together for any length of time. Mm-hmm. Like, I think they've had them have conflict before, fight before, really short scenes. This time, the entire episode was about them. And I actually have to say that, like, halfway through the episode, I was like, oh, I think I'm going to ship them. And then I went, oh, wait a minute. Ray only likes women.
Ray is a lesbian.
Yes. I was like, oh, she passed for the other team. And I was like, oh. But I was ready to get on board with that. And then I was like, oh, wait. But I
have to ask everyone, what was up with the Nakuta bomb kind of looking like a piece of Cylon technology?
Oh, because they said that was a hologram.
Yeah. But she had to put her hands in it. And,
well, that was the whole thing is it was a hologram. The whole point of it was it's a hologram that you can't, so you basically can't see the wires. So
yes.
They
you
did that.
Diffuse
so,
it blind.
Yeah, you got to diffuse it blindfolded. So they put that there so you can't see what you're doing. So the only people who can diffuse the bomb are people who already know how the bomb works. And so they already know where all the wires are. And so you can go in there blind and do it. That was the whole point. It wasn't necessarily to look like anything from Battlestar. But
actually it did, you know?
Yeah, it did.
It totally did.
I did feel bad for the guys who switched bodies because, man, I was like, you know what? I don't think I'm using the stones because every time they use the stones, people get murdered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, something horrible always happens.
Right. People walk into radiation rooms. And though, to be fair, if they had not switched bodies, they probably still would have been on the base when it got blown up. So they still probably would have been screwed.
Yeah, well, if they hadn't switched bodies, then, yeah, like, the whole Homeworld Security building would have been destroyed.
Right. Well, I mean, and they still would have been in a situation where they might have got killed. So it's not like switching bodies necessarily caused it. But knowing that you're going back into a body that's dying sort of sucks. Like,
yeah.
I was like, oh, it sucks to be you guys, man.
But it is
like,
good storytelling.
At least they get to go out defusing a bomb. So
that's true.
There is that.
Yeah. Except that, what is his name? French? Somebody French? I forgot his first name. He was totally like wimp dude.
Yeah.
But
like, I don't want to. I don't want to go back to a dying body. Let's find a way for me to stay here.
And they're like, yeah, no.
Not going to happen, you know? But it was nice that both, you know, the two different characters had very different reactions to it. So I like that they did bring that out in the episode.
Right. That's true. That was good storytelling. I really did like it.
And so many times characters are heroes, and sometimes it's really nice to see someone being genuinely human.
Yeah, because, I mean, your first reaction is to panic. If you realize you're going to die, yeah, I'm going to panic for a minute. Give me a minute to panic. All right.
Mm-hmm. Because I thought the other interesting thing in the episode was, I guess, French Stewart's character casting doubt on Rush's and I guess getting the information that he thinks he's going to unravel the mysteries of the universe,
right.
That maybe, you know, he hasn't really stumbled on something, that maybe he's a little bit crazy.
I think it was more that he just pointed out to Rush just how complicated an issue this was.
Right.
Like, if you go to the Senate to ask for money to do research on the signal you find at the edge of the universe, who isn't going to read some religious implication into that?
Right, and then use that for justification for something else. And he's like, it's not just about you, it's a bigger issue.
Yeah.
I thought that was all pretty good.
And it's definitely something that Rush would never have thought of.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I said this. The last two episodes of Stargate Universe have been really good. I mean, thumbs up all the way across the board. They've done really good character development. They've got really good stories, good plots. I cared about everybody. That can't be said for all the Stargate Universe episodes, but I have to say these last two have been exceptional.
Absolutely. I'm definitely looking forward to the rest, and I'm probably going to cry at the end.
Yes. Yes.
Same here.
Yep, just like Caprica.
Oh, thank you.
Don't bring up that heartbreak.
All right, next thing I want to talk about really briefly is NCIS, just because I actually have somebody on the podcast who's seen it as well, so I figure we might as well talk about it for a second. It wasn't an earth-shattering episode, but I did think that having the child actor that they had in there, even though they said he was 18, he totally looks like he's 12, like... That guy is he just looks like such a young kid.
He really did look like way young. And And he also just looked like the kind of person who, even at that age, would be capable of murdering his father.
Right. And it was just like all that worked together really well. And we all know how Gibbs is with kids. So yes. It was an interesting combination of him trying to bond with the kid and trying to convict him for murder. So, like, it was this weird thing. Like, they were doing this bizarre good cop, bad cop, where Gibbs was just... He was just, like, having a completely different conversation with the kid than Tony was. I was like, what's going on with this interrogation?
But Tony was, like, so over the top with his interrogation. I'm like, nobody can take this seriously.
Right. So Tony was doing the over-the-top bad cop, and Gibbs was just like, hey, want a soda? Hey, yeah. So how's the weather? Like, in the middle of the heart, it was just so bizarre, but it was good.
Like, he does all that, and then he says, so, did you kill your father?
But I like the fact that Gibbs did such a good job playing the good cop that when somebody else comes in to interrogate the kid and is really hard on him, he's just like, where's Gibbs?
Yeah.
You know, and you just feel like, aw. And I actually, but I do have to say that halfway through, I was like, okay, he doesn't have any memory. And yeah. They were talking about the autopsy. I was like, oh, he didn't kill his father. I mean, he hated his father, but he didn't kill him.
Right.
And somebody was totally framing him. And then, of course, you got to figure all that out. And Vance, I actually don't like the way they're portraying him this season.
Me neither. I'm liking Vance less and less with every episode.
I don't know what they're doing, but this season they're really screwing his character because it got to where I really liked Vance. And now they're making it to where I really don't, because he came off as kind of incompetent this week.
Yeah.
You know, so...
Well, he seemed, like, so driven by, like, some loyalty to an old friend rather than, like, focusing on the case itself. And I'm like, that just doesn't seem like somebody who would be running NCIS would do that.
And it doesn't seem like what he would normally do. So it felt really weird. And also swinging an axe at a kid, really? No, you get minus. You get deducting points. Minus 20 points. Anyway, so this week's episode I thought was... It wasn't a super mystery because you did figure out that the kid didn't do it. Mm-hmm. But you weren't quite sure who did do it. So that was kind of interesting. But it was good banter. Good. I still like the episode all the way around.
I'm going to give this a Liz Lemon wilting thumbs up.
You totally stole my... My thunder on that one. All right. Okay. Next.
Yeah, I beat you to it. I'm sorry.
Next up is there was a new episode of Modern Family this week. What'd you guys think?
Well, I always love Modern Family. So well,
yeah.
I'm just trying to remember what happened this week.
It was the boys' night out. So basically, the dad got to hang out with Mitchell and all his gay friends. And he actually had a good time. You know, it was...
He had a good time, and then he had a day-date with Pepper afterwards.
Which was great, because his wife totally didn't let him out of it. It was awesome.
Yeah.
But I did like the whole conversation at dinner. I thought that was all pretty good. And the fact that he managed to fit in... He wasn't even drunk at the beginning, but he totally managed to fit in with these guys and just be comfortable. And... That was kind of surprising, but kind of fun, too. And I like that Mitchell was like, I never thought I could get along with my dad, and I did. So
yeah, I like that. And then, like, the day after when Jay calls up Mitchell, and he's like, okay, apparently I've got a date with Pepper. I have to get out of this somehow. And Mitchell's like, sorry, I bonded with my dad. I'm not going to hear this right now.
Well, because not only did he say that, he said something very, what's the word? Not sexist, but... Gayest? I don't know what the word is.
Yes,
he said something very bad on top of that, and I was like, ooh. And it's like, all the points you gained last night, totally gone. And that was why he was like, yeah, I gotta get off the phone right now, because I had a good time with my dad last night, and so I don't know who you are.
And then there was the whole thing with Phil and his family and their creepy old man neighbor.
Yes, but he wasn't creepy, though. That was the thing, is he just...
Yeah, it's
just
like they were terrified of him for no good reason.
Yeah, he was just an old guy with an oxygen tank. That was literally all it was. And they were like, he's the scariest man. He's scarier than Freddy Krueger. And I was like, yes.
They were like, if Hannibal Lecter and Freddy Krueger had a child, he would be scared of this man.
And so then when you finally see him, I was like, really? That's it? Okay. Yeah.
And the whole thing about, like, him trying to befriend, or Luke trying to become his friend and everything.
All that was cute. I liked it.
It was cute. I did like their little bit about, like, well, let's think about this in pop culture. What movies have we seen where kids befriend old men? Up, I can't remember the others.
Oh, Gran Torino.
Yeah, Up, Gran Torino, and
something else. I don't remember.
Yeah,
but
it's like, okay, cartoon, he kills himself. We need to save our son.
Yeah, that was all pretty good. All right, so Modern Family, it wasn't the best episode, but I did really enjoy Jay and Mitchell having the night out, so I thought thumbs up for that alone.
Yeah, definitely that.
All right, Mr. Sunshine.
Yay!
Mr. Sunshine, yay.
I love their theme.
That is the best thing. And I like the little sun. It's got a happy face, and then it just kind of drops away.
That little song gets stuck in my head for hours after I watch an episode.
This week's episode was Alice and Janney. Basically, first of all, she hits a celebrity at the beginning of the episode because she's on the phone, and then
just discovered texting.
She discovered texting, and then the second thing is she then hits her son with a go-kart because she's texting.
Yeah.
All in
or
one
she's
day.
Tweeting.
Oh,
let's
she's
get it
tweeting.
Right. She's found
right.
The tweeter.
Yes. And she does both of those incidents in one day. You would think she didn't learn anything.
Come on, you don't know his character by now?
That's the whole point.
But I did like her bonding with her son for the first time ever.
Yeah, that was cute. And I thought it was very funny how, like, she immediately goes to her lawyer and she's like, okay, we have to get ready to countersue my son because I know he's going to sue me.
And I was like, he would only sue you if he was you. Like,
yeah.
But he's not.
Thank goodness he's not, you know?
Yeah. He's a cool character. I think they did a really good job with that character. I like him a lot.
Yeah. I like him more and more. And the secretary girl, Heather, like, she's just funny. And I love, like, all the little references they make to her. Like, at one point, Matthew Perry saying something is like, okay, I'll just go get a knife from under Heather's desk.
Because, of course, she has a knife under her desk. I like the paramedics were like, does anybody know this guy? And Alice Jenny's like, no. And he's like, she's his mother. She's like, yes. And then they ask her all these questions like, what's his blood type, blah, blah, blah. She's like, I don't know. What do you think? Who do you think I am? And then the guy just looks at her. She's like, don't judge me. All that was great. Like, I do really like, I think that relationship is probably the best thing on the show. Like,
yeah.
And the other thing was Matthew. I didn't realize that Matthew Perry's relationship with, I don't know any of these people's names.
Andrea Anders.
Yeah, with her was like a secret. Yeah, I didn't know that was a secret. So that coming out was a surprising secret reveal. But it was fun. Especially all the running around he was doing and yelling information so he didn't get caught and beat up or something. I was like, are we in high school?
Oh, I love that. I just love like how he runs like through the screen real quick, like, not my fault!
Yeah, all that was pretty cute. So, yeah, Mr. Yes. Sunshine. Yay.
And they're actually starting to do a lot of cameos.
From, and, you mean other actors, you mean?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
How Jimmy Connors came on and was going to be the body of the guy for the evening. That was kind of funny, you know what I mean? And
yeah,
I love it at, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, yeah, that was cute.
And I liked at the end with the tennis match. It's like, okay, all the celebrity tennis. So they introduce all the people and the guy in the red shirt. <you know>?
And there's like a smattering of clapping. Like, nobody knows who you are, dude. That was great. All right. Next up, we want to talk about Archer and his chemo rampage. No, his cancer rampage.
Chemo rampage! I was dying in this episode.
Nice. I really like that. They're like, oh, he's been on chemo for all these weeks and he hasn't lost his hair or gotten sick or anything else. And they're like, oh, yeah, you've been taking sugar pills.
And Zima. And I'm like, wouldn't taking Zima intravenously do something to you?
That was great. And he's like, I have to find who's done this to me. I will go on a rampage. And he was just killing people. It was awesome.
It was so great. He's just like, oh, you're not answering my question? Blam.
He was just killing people left and right. It was a very bloody episode of Archer.
Definitely. And then It was funny when he finally did go on chemo, then all of a sudden he lost his hair and had to wear it. I mean, he looked so bad, you know?
It had only been like, what, a couple of hours?
It had been like a day, maybe. And he's smoking weed the whole time, and he ends up hotboxing, what is her name?
Oh, I forgot. Yeah, because then she's high.
Yeah, he ends up hotboxing Lana in the car.
Yeah.
So she's getting high.
Oh, and then his eyes are so red. It's great. Yeah. Yeah, the whole episode was fantastic. I mean, just the murder spree alone.
Yeah.
And then he's got to have the IV with him as he tries to go on his rampage. It's great.
Of course, you know.
And it's just stop every 5 minutes to puke.
Then the old man was like, you can't kill me. I'm an old defenseless man in a wheelchair. He's like, you killed all those other people, but they were armed. And I was like, actually, they weren't. I was like, no, they weren't armed when he killed them, but okay.
But then he did kill them. And I love like how he just like puts it all together in like this movie, Terms of Enrampagement.
And he makes everyone watch it. Yeah.
He's like, watch it again!
In slow motion. Oh, that was great.
Like, once all that's done, he's on the chemo for like all of 5 minutes. He's completely cured.
Oh, yeah. Well, apparently time had to go by for him to cut his film. All that time went by. He cut his film and all his hair grew back in. Very lovely.
Perfectly.
Yes. I know that's not a fact, but anyway.
That's Archer.
Yeah.
He's a cartoon. He can do it.
Exactly. All right. So Archer, thumbs up this week. It was great.
Yeah.
Next up, we're going to talk about Justified.
This episode frustrated me to no end.
I was like, why is he surrounded by stupid people? Why? There are too many stupid people in Raylan's life. He should just cut them all off.
Well, that's part of the downside of being in Harlan County.
But I really thought that she was smarter. I really, really did.
Well, like, she was stupid, and then she confesses it to him in, like, this complete white trash ramble. And I'm like, what the hell?
And he's just looking...
And then Raylan's like, oh, okay, well, then let's just keep committing federal crimes and get all this sorted out.
Oh, my God, that was...
And then just, like, one detour after diversion, after another, and I'm like, gah!
The only thing that made this episode bearable was Boyd.
Yes.
Him being hired to be security. And Boyd was like, oh, you actually want me to do a legitimate job and be security? He was all happy for about 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's like, no.
Yeah, he's like...
Not Boyd Crowder.
Well, because that was his whole thing. He was like, really? You want me to do a legitimate job? Okay, I can be a bodyguard and wear a suit. Sure. And at first, he kept waiting for the other shoe to fall, and then it didn't, and then it didn't, and then it didn't.
And finally, after, like, he was like, okay, it might actually be legit, the other shoe fell.
Yeah, and then he was just like, oh, man.
And the only other thing about the episode is, I guess, now that part of the story is going to tie into the main arc back with, you know, the family, you know.
Yeah, because I was missing them, because I was like, where are the crazy people?
The Bennett clan, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
And it looks like next week, big confrontation. I'm excited.
Ooh. Yeah, nice.
You know, and one thing I was going to say about Winona, though, I think I hated it because it's like they've changed her character. Because at first, she was the, you know, one person he could go to that, you know, sort of made sense. And so for her, in these last two episodes, to do what she did, it just goes against the character that they initially set up for.
I would agree with you. Like, I didn't buy it. Like,
no.
Yeah.
No, not at all.
Yeah, she got hit with the
stupid. I think that's what frustrated me the most about all this. It's like, no, Winona knows better.
Thank you.
You know, and I was trying to give her some room because I know, like, you know, going through the whole thing with her, you know, her husband that she has now, and he, you know, she's been frustrated by him through the whole season, but still, I don't think she would go to this extent.
I understand that, but I just don't see her going to these lengths.
Right.
Right.
Like, maybe the thought would cross her mind, but she would never do it, and that's why Raylan likes her so much.
Right. Well, and that was the whole thing that I thought was dumb, was like, she finds out that he sold her house underneath her, from underneath her. Okay, fine. That means you work with a bunch of lawyers, go sue him.
Yeah.
The end. Right?
Like, you don't need to steal money to solve this. Like, he broke the law.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you deal with it that way. You don't do whatever the heck that craziness is. But anyway, whatever.
Yeah.
That episode is done and over with.
Except that Art saw them.
Yeah, he doesn't know what they did, and he's like, I'm not going in that room to even suspect what they did. He was like, I'm going to stand right out here and wait for Mike to come back, because I don't even want to know.
I don't think anybody cares, because it's like, this was money that if it had been stolen, no one would have cared anyway.
Well, I don't know if he thinks that they put, because they're like, oh, we're putting something in the evidence. I don't know if he thinks that they connected it to the money. I don't think he thinks that they might be doing something they're not supposed to do, but... Right. And I like the fact that Raylan remained cool. Like, he didn't panic. He didn't say, come on, hurry up. He didn't do any of that. He was very calm.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, oh, I'm helping.
That's Raylan. If Raylan ever panics, look out.
Well, he was close to panicking earlier when he realized that they had scanned the bills ahead of time and some other... Like, he was... And when they were doing the whole search to figure out where the money was, he was like, can we leave? Can we leave? Can we leave? Like, he had one foot out the door... Like, through that whole thing. So I thought he was actually telegraphing a little bit.
Yeah, that was out of character for Raylan.
Well, I think if it was something that he had done himself, he might have been cooler about it. But because he's worried about her, then that threw a whole new different aspect to it. But yeah.
Yeah, this is just a very frustrating episode for me.
Yeah, I would agree.
Definitely. But I'm liking Art a lot more, though. I think I like his character.
Oh, I've always liked Art, yeah.
All right, next thing we want to talk about is Fringe. So, this was the other universe with our redheaded Olivia. And what'd you guys think?
I actually thought she might actually die at the end.
I did, too. Because...
there was a moment I was like, wow, is she really dead?
Because I was like, well, technically speaking, they have two Olivias. So yeah. I was thinking the same thing with, like, the Stargate Universe thing, where I was like, oh, we got a spare. So
yeah.
I thought that I was like, all right, they got a spare Olivia. Are they going to kill her? No. Okay. And I like Lincoln being in love with her, though. That kind of works for me.
Oh, it totally works for me, yeah.
Yeah, so that was all pretty good. But... The reveal. I knew that the slimy assistant dude was behind the whole kidnapping. You know, like, can we experiment on kids? No. And then she gets taken, and I was like, oh, I knew he was behind it. But
yeah. But then Walternate does a total 180 and was like in on it and okay with it.
Well, see, now that's my question. Was he only in on stealing the blood? Or was he in on the whole thing? Like, I wasn't quite clear, but yeah, it does look like he's in on some of it. But
it feels to me like he was in on the whole thing.
But was he in on the whole thing because he wanted to steal his grandson and raise him himself? Or what the heck? Like, I couldn't figure out the motivation. Because his emotion...
I feel like the motivation was to just get this child out of Olivia so that he could... get it into controlling the device.
Yeah, okay, the baby is still only like a day old, so controlling the device, unless they super grow them. I'm like, are we going to do soap opera?
If they can accelerate the pregnancy the way they did, who's to say they can't super grow the kid?
Yeah, yeah, I thought yeah,
probably.
Yeah, I was thinking that too, because I was kind of like, it feels like any soap opera... The kid's not interesting until he's up and walking and doing stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. And are they going to make the kid, like, a double of Peter, or I hope not.
No, well, because he's not. No, he's not a clone.
He's closed. He's a child. So casting, I hope not.
No, they're going to cast somebody else that sort of resembles. He has to resemble both Peter and Olivia, so whatever.
Yeah, he's a legitimate child, not a clone.
Right. But I did think that the whole Olivia... Oh, I remember what I was thinking.
There was actually a moment where I thought maybe Olivia's mom was in on it.
Oh, yeah, because she was kind of scary and tight-lipped. But what I was thinking is, remember when Olivia's trying to break out of the whole thing and she gets the scalpel and she's... Well, the other thing was the pills. I was like, why? They got an IV line in her hand.
Yeah. Why are they giving her pills? I didn't understand that either.
So that she can spit them out and not be unconscious. I was like, come on. I don't believe that. Yeah. But when she was trying to use the scalpel to take the wrist things off, I was like, oh, that's... Because at first I thought she was going to cut them off, because I was thinking of... There's a Stargate episode where Carter gets captured and they put her in the thing and she gets a scalpel and she literally spends, like, hours cutting the freaking wrist things off. And then Olivia just takes a scalpel and, like, unbuckles it. And I was like, oh, that's way smarter.
It was like, yeah, okay, it's got a sharp edge, but it can also use leverage.
Right. I was like, oh, that's even smarter than what Carter did. All right. That's pretty good. I did also like the guys, Lincoln and the other guy. I forgot his name.
I can never remember his name.
But the two of them going, huh, if he lied to us about this, what else is he lying to us about? And I was like, yes, you guys are thinking.
And they immediately went to Boreal's disappearing. I'm like, yes.
Yeah, they're figuring it out.
Yeah.
But I hope they're careful, because they should realize Boreal's disappearance means that they could disappear. You know? So be careful, guys.
Yeah. I have a feeling they're smart enough to realize that, and they're going to try to do all this on the sly.
Right. Hopefully.
Hopefully.
Yeah, but they're both motivated to protect Olivia, so I like that.
Yeah.
And we got Bubbles again. Oh, you guys might not recognize the reference, but Bubbles is the cab driver. He was from The Wire.
From, what was it, Oz?
The Wire.
Wire, okay.
And his name was Bubbles on The Wire, and I still call him Bubbles. I don't even know his name on the show, but whatever.
Okay. I don't either. I just call him the cabbie.
Thumbs up for this week's episode of Fringe. Any other comments about Fringe before we move on?
Great show.
Great show. Glad we get another season.
Woohoo! All right. Next, we're gonna talk about Being Human. U.S. No, U.K. Excuse me. U.K. Okay. First. U.S. Second. All right. So in the U.K. episode, we had the coppers show up to interview Mitchell.
Yes.
With the whole boxcar murders and everything, because Nina totally gives him up on an anonymous tip line.
And which was so not anonymous.
I know. those things are never anonymous. But what was great about it is he actually maintained his cool somewhat. Like, at the end, he started to get a little nervous, and the cop was like, okay, he's a little bit suspicious, but he wasn't suspicious enough that she was like, you know, red flags all over the place. The only thing is, Mitchell is now so determined to keep it a secret that
story is falling apart.
His story totally fell apart, and he told Annie this complete BS story, and so she takes that story and runs with it. She's like, oh, all we have to do is tell her who really did it, and then you'll be fine.
Yeah, and now, like, she's becoming all Nancy Drew on it, so it's like, oh, great, now she's going to find out who the real boxcar murderer is and go, like, ballistic.
Oh, my goodness. I was like, dude, your initial thought to tell Annie the truth, like, three episodes ago was correct. Because now, you're just digging yourself into a hole.
Yeah, now you're caught in a huge lie.
Oh, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous how big that lie is. And Herrick... I like, they're trying to get him back on, Mitchell's trying to get him back on blood, but...
Yeah. Well, he's trying to get him to remember how to defeat being killed by a wolf.
Right. But that's all well and good, but the whole problem is they realize that Herrick needs human blood. So what do? He gets him to where he wants human blood, and then he leaves him unattended for the rest of the episode.
Yeah.
I was like, are you kidding me? Like, you've got Herrick in the house... And you just leave him alone and tell him he needs human blood. And so then when he finally gets a taste of human blood, let's just let humans just wander all about the house, no problem. And I'm like, oh my God. I still don't understand why he hasn't succumbed yet, because he totally could have eaten the cop. Like,
well, he was about to, and then Mitchell like opened the door and yanked her out.
No, that's not what happened. Not in this episode. You're on the wrong episode. In this episode, he leans in and he's just hovering over her neck, and he pulls himself back and he whispers in her ear that he has something to show her, and he shows her the book. Mitchell's big, gruesome...
Well, I think Herrick is still, like, legitimately conflicted on the whole vampire thing. Like, he hasn't given in yet.
That's true, except that he's cramping so bad that he's screaming. And he told
him... Yeah, but his resolve is much stronger than just, like, giving in because he's cramping up a little bit.
Well, a little bit. I mean, I get cramps. I don't sit on the bed.
By vampire standards.
Oh, okay. I was like, I've had cramps before, trust me. It's not quite like that. Anyway, so I thought that all that was pretty good, and then the cop legitimately got terrified. Like, she takes the book, and he sees that she's got it, and he makes her give it back.
Mm-hmm.
In,
like, a complete serial killer kind of
way, man, yes, because she was like, he was basically like, you either give me that book or you're not getting out this door. You know, like, that was pretty much the implicit threat there. Now he's on, he really at this point just needs to break for it, because she's on to him now. She knows that he is now a suspect.
Yeah.
So he wasn't a suspect before, but he definitely is now, and stupid. Anyway. Yeah.
Stupid Mitchell.
Yeah, I mean, all this is technically his, well, he did it, the crime, but everything now, why he's a suspect is his fault, because he's an idiot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, this could have easily gone away.
Yeah. All right, next up is Being Human US. You guys go for it.
All right.
Well, this was the episode where we're introduced to the Dutch, which are their elders who live out in Amish country and are, like, literal Amish vampires.
Oh, jeez.
And they are creepy as hell.
You're trying to make me watch the show because they have Amish vampires? Seriously?
They are creepy, I'm telling you. Like, they made the skin crawl. And then we also have, like, the big flashbacks to Bishop and Aiden in the 50s. And so we see Aiden with a pompadour. basically, like, looking like a character from West Side Story. And then we find out, like, in the 50s, their roles were completely reversed. Like, Aiden was the one who was like, let's kill people, and Bishop was the one who was very reserved, very quiet, was having a very cute relationship with a human. And then all this turned around somehow.
Of course.
Because of the Amish.
Because of the Dutch.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the Dutch. Yeah. Yeah, they basically, you know, gave him an ultimatum. I mean, you know, either give up the girl or die.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, rather than like mind wipe her or something, he just flat out kills her.
Oh, great.
Yeah, and it kind of, you know, sets the stage is why, you know, we're kind of in this universe, because that's sort of how Bishop became, I guess, the head vampire for Boston.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
And then we also have Josh gets kidnapped by Bishop to participate in a wolf fight for the Dutch.
Well, that's what I say. Wait a minute. They're doing that in a third season of Being Human in the UK. So they upped that a little further in the storyline?
Yeah, they did. This one is... Their wolf fights are a little bit more different, because in the UK one, they're very just like cage match. And this one... Like, they have the other wolf is the one who is, like, jailing Josh. He's, like, his overseer.
Okay. So where's the fight come in?
Well, it is in, like, this big cage match, and they've got, like... But it just seemed a little bit more ritualistic. Like, they pull out Josh, strap him down to a chair, and have him change right there in front of everybody. And then they bring out the other wolf. And the one real disappointing part was that you see, like, the two CG wolves circling each other, getting ready to pounce on each other. And then they just skip right ahead to afterwards, and you see that Josh has won.
Really? They don't actually show the fight?
No.
That was a big disappointment.
Yeah, it's very low budget.
But, you know, I have to say, the wolf effects in the U.S. version, much better than the wolf effects in the U.K. version.
What? I feel just the opposite. Really?
I like them. I like the wolf.
I think the U.K. version is much, much better as far as... the wolf changing than the U.S.?
No, I mean, like, the actual, like, final wolf. The changing, I agree, is much better in the U.K. But, I mean, like, when they're finally in their wolf form, it looks better in the U.S. Maybe it's the CG, but I don't know. It just, in the U.K. version, it seemed too much like American Werewolf in London for me.
Yeah. I have to agree with that. But, no, I mean, in the U.S. version, you definitely know that it's, like, you know, CG Wolf. I mean, especially in the previous episode when he changes in the house and then he just kind of leaps up the stairs towards Sally.
I was like,
hey. And he didn't even destroy anything in the house. He just knocked a bunch of books over.
Yeah. Yeah, that was true. The aftermath was not nearly as intense as it should have been.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, so wrapping up. You have any final comments? We're about to wrap up.
I had started to watch Being Human US because just so that I could legitimately rag on it. But I'm actually finding that it's actually starting to become rather interesting as the two universes kind of diverge, the US and the UK version. So
yeah, same here. Like I was watching it mostly so that, like, I sort of had this feeling that once it diverged, it could actually become good on its own. And so I was just waiting for that moment where I could sort of laugh in the face of all my friends who gave up on it.
Are you laughing at us?
I was laughing after last week because last week's episode was amazing. This week, yeah, maybe not so much.
All right. So wrapping up, one final comment I actually have to make is there's a show called Outcasts on the BBC.
I'm watching that.
I have watched the pilot by some mysterious method. I'm looking for the U.S. air date for BBC America so that we can talk about it in the podcast, but go forth, watch it. It's pretty cool. I mean, it's got an all-star British cast. Like everybody in there you should recognize.
And there's an American in it, too.
Oh, maybe I haven't seen the American yet.
Well, he only shows up at the very end of the pilot, but he plays a pretty big role later on. I just finished the third episode.
Okay. It's pretty good. I mean, it's a sci-fi... It's an absolute sci-fi show.
It's very reminiscent of Earth 2.
But
Earth 2.
Yeah, it is sort of like Earth 2, but I think it's grimmer.
Much grimmer, yeah. Yes.
So, and much more violent.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, yeah, if you guys get a chance, go forth, go out there, check out Outcasts. I was looking for an air date for BBC America, and all it said was 2011. I was like, great, thanks. But anyway, it's thumbs up. And if you guys want to give us any feedback, any thoughts, suggestions,
One more thing quick. For Doctor Who fans, there is a prequel to the new season of Doctor Who that's up on the BBC's website right now. It's a very short 2-minute teaser video.
All right.
And cool. I'll put a link to it up on our Facebook page.
All right, cool. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
All right. If you guys have any feedback, remember, send it to tvcampfire@gmail.com. We're on Facebook and follow us on Twitter @tvcampfire. And we'll talk to you guys next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.